Tenga ngoma wena Mshayo tsugu bonge Gyo wense njane Gapande wako Yewe na uingoma
Bueno, y en In the headlines, concern over Zimbabwe's decision to dismiss nearly 300 medical doctors. Tanzania reverses a decision to disqualify many opposition candidates from local elections on the 24th of this month, and the leader of a splinter Hutu militia group killed by Congolese forces. A very good morning to you. I'm Anne Musa. Zimbabwean citizens have raised concern over a government decision to dismiss nearly 300 medical doctors who took part in an industrial action for the past 2 months. Doctors and nurses have not been reporting for duty, citing their salaries can no longer sustain them. The president of the Zimbabwe Doctors for Human Rights, Evans Masitara, says the move by the government to fire striking doctors is a human rights violation.
As I was saying, they violated the court order that granted them to go back to work. But even if the court order said that, there's no means to go back. So even if a court tells someone to run a marathon when that person is amputated, obviously that person is going to violate the court order. That's what the doctors did. They actually want to go back to work, but they actually do not have the means. And what the government has done right now to fire the doctors is actually cripple the health sector.
Tanzanian authorities have reversed the decision to disqualify many opposition candidates from local elections on the 24th of this month. Minister of State Salame Jafor says leniency would be shown to allow previously barred candidates to stand. A number of opposition members had been told they would not be allowed to take part due to spelling mistakes and other errors on official forms. Several opposition parties, including the biggest Chadema, had announced they would boycott the local elections, condemning them as a mockery of the democratic process. Pope Francis has urged the leaders of South Sudan to overcome their decisions. His call comes 3 days after President Salva Kiir and a former rebel leader, Riek Machar, agreed to delay forming a unity government until February next year. The BBC's Will Ross reports.
Il popolo sudanese ha sofferto troppo negli ultimi anni.
At his weekly blessing, Pope Francis urges South Sudan's leaders to overcome their divisions and end the people's suffering. He was speaking in St. Peter's Square, a place familiar to President Salva Kiir and his rival Riek Machar, as they were invited to the Vatican last April. There, Pope Francis made the dramatic gesture of kneeling to kiss their feet as he urged them not to return to civil war. It's clear, however, that there's still deep mistrust between the two men. The peace deal remains fragile, and thousands of former rebels still have to be integrated into South Sudan's national army.
Congolese forces have killed the leader of an offshoot of a Hutu militia on the west of east of the country. The army made the announcement on Sunday, 2 months after killing the leader of the main faction, Juvenal Musabimana, who led a splinter group of the Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Rwanda, a group founded by Hutu officials who fled Rwanda after orchestrating the 1994 genocide. His killing is the latest blow to the FDLR, which has been weakened in recent years by arrests of several of its leaders and military pressure from the DRC's armed forces, the FARDC, and other militia. And finally, authorities in Australia have declared a state of emergency across a broad swath of the east coast. Residents in high-risk areas have been urged to evacuate. Bushfires burning across New South Wales and Queensland state have already killed 3 people and destroyed more than 150 homes. Officials expect adverse heat and wind conditions to peak at unprecedented levels on Tuesday. Recapping the top stories, concern over Zimbabwe's decision to dismiss nearly 300 medical doctors. Tanzania reverses a decision to disqualify many opposition candidates from local elections on the 24th of this month. And the leader of a splinter Hutu militia group killed by Congolese forces.
Thank you. I hope this morning you're quite ready for the bright future that we're actually holding up in terms of what the youth actually has as ideas that are going to be something that actually makes our country and the whole of the continent something a little bit better that we can be proud of to look at. This morning we talked to two people. The first one, though, that we're going to be talking to is Kura Chiwota, who is in Zimbabwe at the moment and is going to be talking to us about real estate, embarking on an event, Property Expo in Zimbabwe, where they are exploring different ideas about what else can be done in order to make this, or at least the industry of real estate and property in Zimbabwe, something to look forward to and something interesting. And there's lots of ideas to always be exploring when it comes to real estate. And our second guest is here with us in studio, and her name is Vuyisile Mayisa. She is a first year BA law student. She also comes from Zimbabwe, but what she has to tell us today, I promise you, is actually going to knock your socks off. She's as young as she is, born in 1999 on the 11th of June, and she started her own NGO, and she's going to tell us all about it and the competition that is in place in order to empower other young individuals. And of course, we try and we find them at a very young age so that they can be shaped, bent in the direction that we want, so that they can flourish. We are forever looking for young individuals. And of course, law is always relevant when it comes to real estate and property industry. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back to talk to our first guest, who is in Zimbabwe at the moment, and that's Kura Chiwota, specializing in commercial property.
When I think back to my childhood, geographically, it reminds me of a time where I was black and only black and only struggling, but at the same time, always reaching for something more, something bigger in a South Africa that was hostile.
Hello, Africa. This is 1000 African Voices, and I'm your host, Avurengwi. Join me on Channel Africa every Thursday morning between 8 and 9, and on Saturday and Sunday morning between 9 and 10. Rise, Africa, rise. Channel Africa, from an African perspective.
As I said, we're always looking for new ideas in terms of how we can improve the real estate and property industry. And today we talked to Kura Chiwota, who is no newcomer to the show. Kura, thank you so much for the time that you're affording us again this morning. A very good morning to you.
A very good morning to you, the world champions of rugby. Good to be with you this morning, man.
Thank you so much. Great. You're telling us that there is something called the Property Expo in Zimbabwe, which is a two-day program that you've just come up with as an idea. Let me give you the platform and say you're a blank page at the moment. And what is it that you'd like to tell us about this event?
Wow, I really appreciate the opportunity and thanks for making it possible. You know, real estate is always about connecting people with products, with ideas. So I decided to get people into a room for 2 days. So on the first day, it's really for people interested in property. You know, everything happens in a context. So I've got one of the top speakers in the country, Nigel Chanakira. He's going to do an economics overview and talk about where we are in the country to say, look, this is where the money is. This is where it isn't. This is how the budget deficit is going. This is how you and I feel about our money in the current economy. And then from there, we take it into particular spaces that, what are the legal issues? You might not be aware sitting on the continent, but we've had pretty much three currencies operating here in Zimbabwe. How does that actually work? How do we stay safe? How do we follow all of the rules? Once we've gone through the legal, cannot be in property and not understand how the tax works. So we'll have the tax department come through, or a practitioner from the tax department come through and explain how you stay on the right side of the tax man. Then if you want to buy properties, we need money. How do we get the money? Other people's money? How do we put together a mortgage application? What loans are out there? There's some banks that are running really special deals right now on, we are facing, just as you are in South Africa, an Eskom issue. Mm-hmm. The power is going. So people have come up with solar projects. product, and then how do we fund that? How do we use our home to raise finance to get that power going? Then we do the magic. I call it magic. Valuations to me are always a mystery, but how do we do valuations? How do you know that this property is worth what you're paying for? How do you measure your investment in that? And we close off the day with the big boys, the listed property funds. What are they doing? What are they disposing? What are they buying? But the exciting stuff for most people will be the next day, will be the next, where it's an expo, where all agents and developers and suppliers like builders or architects or fancy surveyors are all in one room, and they're individually hawking their wares. But on the hour, every hour, is a professional talk that is done in the same venue. So once you take your entrance, come in, you're now listening to the whole morning. Five different topics on mortgages, on building or buying your property, on attending an auction, on hearing from the CEOs of the big real estate companies, where their deals, what is coming up in the pipeline, and then to wrap it off, we'll have some lawyers saying, how do we keep it safe? How do we get an agreement that makes sense? How do we protect our interests? So that is really to put the property market on their toes so that we're ready and excited for 2020.
All right. Kura, there's quite a number of events that usually take place in different parts of the African continent. We definitely know here in South Africa that, events such as exhibitions, summits, are something that come and go quite frequently. What's the X factor that makes yours a differentiator? And I'm glad actually to hear about the event simply because we haven't come across much of such in Zimbabwe. So what makes yours different, and who are you targeting other than the professionals?
Day one, I'd call it the professionals, just so that you've got
just
that,
the professionals.
That edge. But the Saturday, and that's why it's deliberately on a Saturday,
yeah,
is for every man and woman in the street who is thinking, we have situations where in the newspaper, you pick up the newspaper and they'll say, look, we're selling this land at a very attractive price. Come and put down your deposit. And I myself and the real estate professionals here are so much against that kind of exploitation that we want to go on record. We want to provide an accessible platform for people to engage. It's one thing to engage a lawyer, but people are afraid to cross that barrier and they have the money to put down that barrier then, mm-hmm, to open up a file. But this is a very non-threatening environment where you've got competing service providers. So it's not, you're not locked into one person's view. If people are telling this truth, trust me, they'll get corrected very quickly. And somebody can reasonably the product is at this price, this is what it entails, this is what the development agreement has behind it, this is the level of service you're going to get. So it's really a hands-on experience for the person who's thinking about property to get educated.
All right, we've got Kura Chuota on the other side of the line, and we're calling him. He's right there in Zimbabwe. As you heard him talking about the event that's going to be taking place in real estate and property matters, as you heard, the question I asked was, who is he targeting? And he's looking not only at the professionals, but on the last day of this expo, they're actually going to be inviting the consumers, the people that the professionals get to deal with, have as clients. And of course, you know, Zimbabwe has been going through quite an uphill in terms of their financials, the economy. But in part of the build up, you have people like Kura Chuota, who has been working in South Africa for many years, for more than a decade, specializing in commercial property, bringing back that knowledge to Zimbabwe and trying to find solutions, means and ways to make that industry a little bit better. We're going to take a quick break while we check if our lines are intact.
When I think back to my childhood, geographically, it reminds me of a time where I was black and only struggling, but at the same time, always reaching for something more, something bigger in a South Africa that was hostile.
Hello, Africa. This is 1,000 African Voices, and I'm your host, Avurengwi. Join me on Channel Africa every Thursday morning between 8 and 9, and on Saturday and Sunday morning between 9 and 10, Rise, Africa, rise. Channel Africa, from an African perspective.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to All Things Property and Real Estate Matters on Channel Africa, bringing you the African perspective. You can find us on DSTV 802 Audio Bouquet. Our service into the continent is 9625 kilohertz on 31 meter band. Right, they're calling it the property platform that they're going to be exploring, Zimbabwe Premier Property Platform. We were talking to Kura Chota, whom we're trying to get back on the line. He's talking to us about this exhibition. It's a two-day program where the property professionals in Zimbabwe, buyers, sellers, investors and developers, estate agents and mortgage institutions get to meet and share the best minds charting the way forward in investment in property. You did hear me say a little bit earlier, Zimbabwe has gone through its tough time. They are on the build at the moment where they're trying to get all kinds of platforms for the economy to be a little bit better. And property is definitely one big part of it. And having a conversation like this, where you've got the experts who are going to be talking to not only other investors and inviting investments to be coming in Zimbabwe, it's going to be quite interesting. The day one is starting on the 6th of December 2019. Property in Practice, as they call it. Day two is on the Saturday, which is the 7th of December 2019, Property Expo itself, and they'll have exhibitors showcasing what it is that they can do. So if you are looking for property, whether it's commercial, residential, you want to talk about the positives of investments, you're going to be buying a new property for yourself, or you want to buy a piece of land where you're going to be building, and wanting to know the costs behind doing such, or whether it's wise to build or to buy, it's definitely going to be something that you're going to need to be part of. And of course, for the professionals, it's something that requires for everybody to get involved. So look out for some of the advertisements there. They're asking for sponsorships, the corporate companies to be part of it. I assume that the banks are going to be playing a very good role when it comes to this, especially where they're lending a hand, not only in the small businesses becoming something, but the big businesses of the real estate commercial. I see a lot of our retail industry growth in particular going into Zimbabwe and trying to find, you know, some leverage of doing some sort of business there. We've seen quite a number of companies coming from South Africa, such as the Pick and Pays, the ShopRites, you know, trying their hands in terms of making, you know, what they do best available to Zimbabweans. We'll take another quick break and try to get Kura back. We'll be right back. you've just joined us, you're listening to All Things Property and Real Estate Matters on Channel Africa, bringing you the African perspective. You can find us on DSTV 802 Audio Bouquet. Our service into the continent is 9625 kilohertz on 31 meter band.
Just a reminder, Spotlight Africa, a feature program that showcases and highlights African issues from an African perspective, can be heard every Wednesday at 1000 hours UCT, with repeats on Wednesday at 2000 hours, Thursday at 300 hours, and Sunday at 1300 hours UCT. Listen to Spotlight Africa, a program that interrogates issues from an African perspective. Spotlight Africa.
Right. I think we do have Kura Chota back. We had a little bit of gremlins on our lines, but not even the power of Eskom or whatever power usage you've got that side, Kura, is going to work in cutting us off on this one. Now, what are your dates for the event? And tell us a little bit more about the venue where it's going to be held.
All right. The event is going to be on the 6th and 7th of December.
Right.
It is being held in downtown Harare at an exciting venue. If you Google Joiner Center. Joiner Center is a 19-story building. It's the last building to be built in the Harare CBD. It's a four-story shopping mall, and we're right in the middle of that. The shopping center is anchored by Pick and Pay, so it's really accessible. You can drive in. There's a secure parkade. You can catch a combi. There are buses available to get you there, and it's right in the downtown of downtown. I'm hoping that some people are going to join me outside, because upstairs there is a fantastic balcony for a view of Harare that you won't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 6th and the 7th of December at Joiner Center in Harare.
I think it's good timing if you ask me. I mean, we don't come across these types of events that take place just on the first week of December. I'm already thinking of infusing it with a little bit of holiday for my kids to come and explore and see what Zimbabwe is about. Kura, what are you hoping your outcome in terms of this mission is going to be for this event? And it's exciting news. I hope it's not going to be the first and the only one, or it's going to take you another 2 or 3 years to put together another. What are you hoping is going to be the outcome of this come together on these 2 days?
I really hope that somebody comes along and takes away something from the seminar and the expo, that they can make a concrete decision that they're going to buy next year.
Right.
If they buy next year, they're going to know what they're going to be buying, what to look for, what the checklist to keep you safe. How are you going to raise the money? What do you need for a deposit or a mortgage or a cash deal? How do you follow the rules so that you make sure that your investment is protected? And if you come away with that, we've got the investing public. The best protector of the public's interest is the public. So if an attendee attends this seminar and gets to know how and what to do, then we're winning, because we're investing in the soil that we fought so hard to get for, and we're securing our futures for our homes and our kids.
All right. You did mention one or two of the speakers. Remind us, what are some of the topics that you're going to be covering with some of the speakers that have confirmed so far?
Okay. I'm going to be emceeing the event through the day. I have Dr. Nigel Chanakira. He will be from the Zimbabwean Economic Society, and he'll be giving a society overview. We'll be talking taxes. I haven't been given a name from somebody from the tax authorities, but I do have a tax practitioner who will be on standby, so we'll either hear from the tax authorities themselves. Then I've got a top attorney in the country, Manokura Attorneys. They will be doing the legal overview and explaining how and why and how you keep safe. So those are my confirmed speakers right now. On the listed panel, we've got 4 listed companies, and again, I'm yet to be designated as the CEO or the head of investments, who's going to be presenting the project that these guys are working on.
And Kura, you are calling out for sponsorships at the moment, and who are you hoping and calling out to in order to hold your hand and walk with you in this journey?
Thank you. We've already got some great sponsors on board. Always more is better, so that we can really amp up every material that we're providing. So the sponsors, anybody who is in the property space,
yeah,
and you want to be seen as a thought leader, and we're giving out information. We're putting together information booklets. There'll be a multimedia pack that comes out when the person is walking away, with an offer to purchase, with market surveys, with legal contracts that they can use. So what we're doing is giving. And if you want your brand to be aligned to that, that people are thinking, when I'm thinking property and I'm thinking of doing it responsibly in Zimbabwe, I need to partner with these kind of sponsors. So it's working with us to communicate to the market. So banks, attorneys, builders, conveyances, we're all happy to have those along.
Excellent. Now, if people want to get in touch with you and book their spaces in coming to this event or making further inquiries, what details do you have to share?
I really appreciate that. So this business is being done in conjunction with a training business that's operating in South Africa. And that training building business is called BEC Training. So if you just pop an email to admin@bectraining.co.za, you can get all the details. We can be in touch with you and you can send that out. We're doing a regional tour for the end of the year, where there's a two-day power training on anybody who's thinking about in the property industry, on sales or leasing. How do you get your mindset right? How do you get the tools sharp so that 2020 is going to be your greatest year financially, because you're applying your correct mindset with sharp tools and the best marketing practices, and then you've got a business plan for 2020 for you doing sales or leasing or commercial. We're also running that as part of the training program.
All right. It sounds great. And we wish you all the best of luck in terms of, achieving the results on what you're putting out there, and making sure that you get results for what it is that you're wanting to achieve out of this event. And we'll be reminding some of our listeners on a weekly basis until the time of this event taking place. And perhaps closer to the time, or even during that event, we could touch base with you, Kura, in order to hear about the excitement and the people that have signed up. And I know our listeners, they're usually quite interested in some of these events taking place from the real estate and property industry. Thank you so much once again.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Kura Chuota, and Kura Chuota is with Leapfrog, as well as with BEC Training Company, which is based here in South Africa. He specializes, of course, in commercial property. We'll hear from him a couple of times again when it comes to this event. I think it's quite exciting. I'll try and post up some of the information that he's shared with us about the content that's going to be going into this program, and talk to some of the sponsors that are going to be going along with this event. Real estate and property is one industry that is able to help and build part of the economy in a country like Zimbabwe, as they are making things better at this point in time. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to talk to our second guest, Vuyisile Mayisa. She's also Zimbabwean. I'm quite blessed with Zimbabweans today. She's a first year BA law student, and you're going to be blown away with what she has to tell you. Let's take a break and we'll be back after this. If you've just joined us, you're listening to All Things Property and Real Estate Matters on Channel Africa, bringing you the African perspective. You can find us on DSTV 802 Audio Bouquet. Our service into the continent is 9625 kHz on 31 meter band.
Welcome to Change Your Game here on Channel Africa, the African perspective. We're coming to you from Johannesburg in South Africa. My name is Asanda Peta.
What GDF Forum is about and what an opportunity it provides specifically for the audience of Change Your Game.
At Change Your Game, we believe entrepreneurs are the key drivers of tomorrow's African innovations and essential to creating a thriving African economy.
More support, just like invest more in young creatives and entrepreneurship, but actually do it, don't just talk about it, actually do it, you know, because there are a lot of creative minds, there are a lot of intelligent human beings in our country, so I think we should invest more in that and take it seriously, because it's a real thing.
Catch us every Friday at 900 hours Central African time with Channel Africa, the African perspective.
All right, as I said, our second guest that's talking to us this morning, she's here with us in studio. Her name is Vuyisile Mayisa. Very, very young lady and very confident lady, I must tell you as well. She's sitting right across me. I'm going to take a picture of her and I'm going to tweet it out there so that people can actually see what dynamite looks like in terms of confidence that comes with a lot of energy. There's an organization called the HALT Prize, and the HALT Prize is a leading generation, new or youth generation to change the world by hosting a prize and a competition where it allows the youth to win up to $1 million. It sounds like a dream, but it's a reality, trust me. And she's going to tell us all about it in terms of how the HALT Prize links in partnership with the United Nations. Now, the focus in terms of what it is that she is doing is to try to encourage young youth individuals, more or less in the same age as she is, in understanding what advantages would one get in entering this this prize, this competition. But there's a background to this in terms of how she came about to find out about it and to be part of it. And she's going to tell us a little bit about it. Now, why we took interest in it, not only because she is a law student and, you know, the law society is very close to the real estate and property industry, but you need to hear what she has to say, because if it isn't the youth that we find our future in, then I don't know where else are we supposed to be looking. Vuyisile, thank you so much for coming to see us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great. Now, tell us the background. How did you get to travel and go to Singapore and come across this competition?
What happened was March.
March of this year, 2019.
Yes, this year. So there was a link which was showing that there is a competition going around in national Singapore, mm-hmm. of which they were inviting all global countries,
right.
Zimbabwe, South Africa, Australia, all of them, name it.
Right.
So the whole idea was to bring us, the young children, to try and bring about the ideas whereby we can try and eradicate hunger.
Right.
But that was not the only point of focus.
Mm-hmm.
There were others who were focusing on the issue of consumer and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But I, for instance, I focused on food security and hunger.
Good.
The reason why I based on food security and hunger
mm-hmm.
is that upon my realization that a first world country like Singapore,
yes.
Its citizens, it only has about like 2% of its citizens that like face this hunger problem.
Yes.
And then I'm like to myself, what about us, people from the third world countries?
Yeah,
we
Africa,
are suffering and we need to eradicate food security and hunger.
Mm-hmm.
But then how best do we do it?
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back to Zimbabwe, I'm like to myself, okay, we already have organizations that focus on these departments whereby they give food aid to people and all that.
Yeah.
Why don't I take a different turn?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, there is an organization in Zimbabwe which is called the Streetwise, which was focusing on street children,
right?
But their point of focus was Harare.
Yes.
And then I did a background check and only to find out that we didn't have such an organization where in Bulawayo.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like to myself, okay, I might be young,
yes.
but let me give it a try.
Yes.
I'm also capable of bringing a change
right.
to my country.
Absolutely.
and the world as a whole. So I'm like, okay, I joined hands with others, because obviously you can't open an organization on your own.
So you started your own NGO.
Yes.
Right. Tell us about that.
The NGO's name is Saved Dreams Global Trust,
right.
and currently I'm the founder and the chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
So the NGO is focusing on street children,
mm-hmm.
With the realization that there is a big stigma associated with street children. Mm-hmm. But they also need a second chance. We have street children who want to go back to school. We have street children who want to develop skills.
Yeah.
So how best can we help them?
Because
I also realized that we can even build a shelter for them,
yes,
but you can't force them to go and stay in the shelter.
Yes.
But then those people, they like to work. If you move around the CBD, you may find them washing cars, asking for jobs, all those small piece jobs. That means they want to be equipped with skills.
Right.
And most of them are males.
So where's your focus? Is it in Zimbabwe in particular that you want to give assistance to the street children?
No.
Not necessarily.
It's not Zimbabwe.
Okay.
But I thought it was wise to start in Zimbabwe since I am a Zimbabwean.
You are from Zimbabwe,
let me
right.
give back first to yes. my country
yes.
before I render assistance to other countries too.
Uh-huh.
So the aim was that, okay, I'll start in Zimbabwe, shift to South Africa, since
yes.
South Africa is also my second home
cool.
now.
Right.
So that means I'm also obligated to bring a change in South Africa.
Excellent.
And then I also took an interest in Ethiopia.
Yes.
But then that is still a dream which I hope to achieve
all right.
one day.
So then you went and you traveled to Singapore. What was required out of you as far as that business plan you were telling me about a little bit earlier in order to qualify in order to take the next step in this competition?
All right. So the whole program was like to try and bring people together,
yes.
because there were groups whereby there's the food security group,
mm-hmm.
there's the consumer environment group, and then in that particular group we have students from different countries, Vietnam, Indonesia, and I,
right.
South Africa, Zimbabwe, right? So in that realization, we faced problems. Even them from Asia, they faced different problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll try and like engage with problems that we as Africans face,
yes.
the Asian face, and then we try to bring a solution. It's more
yes.
like joining your ideas together
mm-hmm.
to find a way forward.
Right.
Yes. So we were given a chance to like go around
mm-hmm.
in Singapore and observe.
Yes.
So what happened was, for us, we were focusing on food security and hunger.
Mm-hmm.
There's this program in Singapore which is called Free Food for All.
Yes.
So what they did was they did a survey to try and find out the reasons why people go to bed on an empty stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because of financial problems? No, but only to find out that some of them, they go to sleep on an empty stomach because of their age.
Yeah.
They are not capable to walk to the shops.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, they are disadvantaged disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and some of them, yes, is financial problems.
Right.
So what do they do? They will like invite the community, engage the community, because that way you're also empowering those people with skills. Because
right.
even some of them will not be employed.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as you are rendering help,
mm-hmm.
you are equipping other people with what?
Mm-hmm.
With skills.
Mm-hmm.
Then like they'll maybe prepare lunch,
yes.
and then they do door-to-door delivery for those people who are old and people who are disabled, and those who face financial problems, they call them to come
right.
and get the food.
All right.
But
we're talking to Vuyisile Mayisa. She is Zimbabwean, as you can hear, quite a feisty young lady. She is a first-year University of Johannesburg BA law student. And as I said, her date of birth, she was born on the 11th of June, 1999. I promise you, she is young. She's definitely, a trailblazer in my view. What would you like the listeners to actually take away from you telling them about this program? What exactly are you calling out for?
Okay, what I'm calling out for is that, first of all, we are all capable of bringing about change.
Right.
The world is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the fourth industrial revolution. It is the time for us to join hands and work on bringing a better tomorrow for us and the future generation.
Right.
If you sit down and say the other person will do it, what about you?
Mm.
Stand up, bring about change. If you want
yeah.
to engage in entrepreneurship, there are opportunities.
Mm.
Engage in something, do something, ask questions. And I tell you, platforms, opportunities will come.
Are there.
Yeah.
So how do the youngsters then, the youth, more or less same age as you, who are as ambitious, join in this competition, in this prize competition?
Okay, I'll make an example with what I did in Zimbabwe. After I opened the NGO, I called out to the youth to come and join hands with me so that we work together. Because in that way, as much as we are bringing back to the society, we are also trying to eradicate this issue of unemployment.
Yeah.
You understand?
I'm with you.
Exactly. So there were some who were interested, but then the problem was that I wasn't able to like spread the word out that much. Okay, you know what? There is Save Dream Global Trust, which is open to every youth out there who want to come and bring a change. And I remember this other instance. We visited a township called Mganwini.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got there, we're like, you know what? With this NGO, we allow people who have business plans to come forward. Bring your business plan. Let us work on it. You do something, you understand. In that instance, when you open your own business plan, you can employ other people.
Yeah.
That means we are empowering people. We are bringing about skills. We are empowering Zimbabwe as a whole.
Sounds great. I'm definitely going to share your details on our platform. Thank you so much for the time that you've allowed to come through and to sharing this with us. We'll check in with you maybe within the new year sometime to see how close you are in terms of achieving your dreams. But congratulations for having the courage that you've got and putting your foot forward. I'm sure your parents must be so proud. I've got no doubt in my mind. And that is Vuyisile Mayisa, Zimbabwean, who is studying at University of Johannesburg as a first-year BA law student. I think she's going to make a fantastic lawyer, if you ask me. But that's all we have for today. And it doesn't get even more interesting than this. We'll be holding more information for you on the next week. If you want to send us any information that requires for us to answer questions that are property or real estate related, send it to realestate@channelafrica.co.za and we'll be sure to respond to it. Ours is to discuss and keep you informed with generic global trends about the real estate and or property industry, both in the African continent and globally. Join us every Monday on Channel Africa, the voice of African Renaissance.